from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Are you timid? For the Spirit God gave us, doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. For the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
Thank you for the privilege of being able to worship with you this day. It's always wonderful to come to this place. It's always wonderful to share in your worship. And it's always wonderful to hear what you're involved with and what's going on. I bring blessings and greetings from Griffithstown Baptist Church. Our prayers are with you and our blessings also. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we would ask that tonight that you would speak to us. Dear Lord, we have had a time of worship with you, and we've invited your Spirit and you, Lord Jesus, and dear God, to be amongst us now. We would ask that your power would reign inside of us, that you would provide us with a revelation of your word, that we would hear from you in our hearts and souls and minds. You would transform us from who we are to who we should be. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name, and God's people said. It says in this passage, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. What is God saying to us in this passage? Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, his adopted son in Christ. He was trying to encourage him. We believe that this letter was Paul's swan song before his head would leave his body. He had for many years been schooling, teaching, and disciplining and encouraging Timothy, for Paul was hoping that Timothy would take up the great work which Christ had passed to Paul forward, so that the people of God would be instructed and taught, so the world might know Christ. Paul was saying to Timothy, when you come to know Christ, you should be transformed. And then you form a relationship with him who loves us. And because of this, we then receive blessings which would manifest in our life distinct gifts. And these gifts change who and what we are. I hope this evening that you've been changed by Christ. The first of these changes mentioned here in this passage is that we're given a spirit which is not of timidity. In some translations, it'll say fear. This means if we know Christ and we've been clothed by him and we have knowledge of him, our lives should be transformed, we've been born again, and we are new creations in him. And this means that fear should be not part of our makeup. We should not need to be fearful of anyone or anything. And this day, if I was to ask you a question, are you fearful of anyone and anything? Is there something within your life that makes you afraid? I know some people are afraid of death, or some people say the process of death. Some people are afraid of relationships, or perhaps that they're fearful of their home, that they don't know what's going to await them when they go home. They're fearful of the church because something might happen to them while they're here, and they may be transformed. They're fearful of Christ or his Spirit or God the Father because they don't know what he might do or demand of them. Are you fearful tonight? Are you fearful in your life? We have been given a spirit which is not of timidity. Are you fearful this day? Have you become fearless instead? Do you have courage in your life? Are you able to overcome here this evening? Can you overcome your fear? I know when we're children, or maybe you still do it now when you're adults, I don't know. What's the most protective piece of material that we have in our bedrooms in the middle of the night? Blanket. You know, we always told, put your blanket over your head. It'll all go away, won't it? What we won't see won't harm us. Perhaps we've, in the past, watched the odd horror film, and you can see that doesn't matter, does it? Because somebody will grab it and tear it away from us. But when we're little, we think that is protective. But our God has given us a garment, who is Christ, who comes into our lives and will protect us from things that we think which would harm us. As it says in God's word, nobody can do anything to you. They may hurt your body, but if you're with Christ, you know him and you love him, then eternity is yours. You do not no longer have to fear. You can overcome all these things in your life. Paul was willing to go to the Roman authorities to put this stamp upon that authority that Christ was in his life and he would overcome. Have you become fearless since knowing Christ? Do you have courage in your life? Do you have that courage? And if you lack it, then ask Christ to give it you so that you might not have an atmosphere about you that's timid or full of fear. This doesn't mean that if we have this courage that we are arrogant or boastful, except regarding our Lord and what he has done for us. Have you this week boasted about what Christ has done for you? Have you boasted that this is what Christ has done to me, to an individual or person? Or perhaps a group of people, to say the Lord has won me, the Lord has my heart, the Lord has my life. I have given it to him, and he has given me eternity, and I will spend eternity in heaven. It sounds very boastful, doesn't it? But this is what Christ did. This is why he paid the price he did for you. And this is just stating facts. It's not stating our emotions, though our emotions are involved in that. Doesn't mean that we have to be arrogant or boastful, except regarding our Lord and what he has done for us. You see, you have become the sons and daughters of the Most High, adopted heirs of him who died for you so that you could be reconciled back to him. And this gives you a status. This means you have purpose. This means you have authority and permission to wield it. But do you have that authority here tonight? Are you able to wield it? Are you able to take God's word and plant it in your life, and that you would overcome those issues and problems that are in your life? Or are you timid and fearful of them and feel that they will just overcome your life? You are prince and princesses in God's kingdom. And he says, I've given you authority. And that authority is in your hands, but do you wield it? Are you overcomers in this? Please don't feel condemned this evening. I'm just trying to open a door for you that you might go through and overcome. And overcome. Do you have authority? And are you able to wield it? Do you know that inside of you? Are you aware of it? Who and what you are? Or is it that you're still timid and fearful? Do you live in an existence which is full of fear and foreboding? Or is it that you have the very keys to the gates of heaven in your hand? And because of this, you're joyful and you know that you've been accepted because of what Christ has done for you. And you relish your life because you have been set free. And you know that you are blessed and you have a relationship with God. The one who sits upon his throne as he smiles at you. And as he looks at you, and he's saying, look at what my people are doing. Aren't they a blessing? Aren't they a blessing? He has a smile upon his face. You know, I think most of the time, perhaps when he looks at the church, he has his hands in his head and tears in his eyes. because we forget that we're his sons and daughters and adopted heirs. And we're much more willing to break and hurt each other and make ourselves timid and fearful rather than give each other courage and build each other up and say we support what Christ is doing amongst us so this world would know of him through us. This world loves to teach us fear, doesn't it? We've been taught well, so we fear so many things. We're taught now to fear the young and young people. We've been taught not to spend time with children unless, of course, we've been vetted. You know, I wonder if these people know who have hurt children, that what it says in God's word will happen to them. He has said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, unless if you turn one of them away from me because of your attitude and the way that you are, it would be better to put a millstone round your neck and throw yourself into the deepest ocean. Or for people to have that fear in their heart, then perhaps they might know who and what God is. And because of that, then the church has been disgraced because of what has gone on. Because of what has gone on. We're taught to fear young people. We've been taught not to spend time with children unless we're vetted. We've been told that we must not share our faith or offer to even to pray for someone else, or we will pay dearly for that action. Speaking out, it seems, is not an option for us. If we dare share our faith, then we may offend. The world's even now trying to take away from us our laws which God has been given to us. You know, they say you don't say the Ten Commandments anymore, they're the Ten Sayings. You know, and then we wonder why perhaps as a nation we're no longer perhaps as successful as we should be. We then wonder why our society fails and falls around us. Perhaps it's because we have no truth to stand on. And then perhaps we wonder why people are absent from our gatherings. Is it because our hands are empty? Because we have nothing to give because we are afraid rather than have the courage that Christ desires to give us. You know, when we do speak and then speak out against others because of situations, people I know love to say, call yourself Christians. You know, it's about time we decided to stand up and say, yes, we are. And we have drawn a line that the devil will no longer walk over. For we are Christ's and he has given us hearts of courage and purpose. You see, God loves us, a God who is prepared to die for us. And we see in this country that he is scorned and ignored, not only by society itself, by his very own people. For we should desire to honor and glorify him, not in fear but or in timidity, but rather with courage. And that we would speak out into this world and say, do not misuse the name of the Lord, for that brings consequences. And here is the truth about God. You loved ones of God, do you glorify him? Do you glorify him? And does he smile about you? Our God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He's rather one of power. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Do you hear what God is saying? He wishes to give you a spirit which has nothing to do with fear of timidity. In fact, it's the very opposite, so that you can be free from such things. Are you willing this evening to take this into your life? So that when people look at you, they say, there goes a person who has God in their life. That was the first gift that God has given us. What's the next gift? It's a gift of power. You know, we're so discouraged about thinking about power, isn't it? We feel perhaps as a Christian people, we don't have power. You know, even Paul said, I come to you not with eloquence of speaking, but rather a demonstration of power. What is the demonstration of power in your life? When you first come to know Christ, he inhabits your life. And it seems that there's nothing that you cannot do. Nothing that you cannot do. You feel enthused. Your first love with him and the first touch of his spirit which is in your life. Why is it as a church and as congregations that we force people who are like that into corners? That they have the love of God and the favor of God and the power of God about them. And of course they have the most terrible thing of all, enthusiasm. You know, enthusiasm should be catching. It'd be something that we should smile about and be encouraged about. I don't know about you, but I've had people try to kill my enthusiasm time and time again. People who've sat in places that say, I've been here for 30, 40 years. You have to wait that long. You know, God took his disciples, spent 3 years with them, and then launched them into the world. And he desires the same for you, to give you that power in your life so that you could be effective. You would have authority and you wouldn't be fearful. You wouldn't be fearful. You would be ready to know that you have a God who supports you, who's willing to encourage you. God bestows gifts upon his people and he wishes to give them power in the name of Christ Jesus so that you may be secure and protected and effectual. This evening, if I was to ask you here, are you powerful? Do you contain inside of you enthusiasm that bubbles over, or is everything a burden to you? When God manifests in power, within the church becomes afraid. Yet we are a people who should not fear that. We should not shy away from him who is our God. For we do not have a spirit of timidity, but rather one of courage. It says in God's words, we come to the throne room in boldness, not in timidity. Beloved, your God is a supernatural God. He is outside of time and space, for it cannot contain him, and he actually created it. All belongs to him. He owns it. It is his. This means when God shows up, spectacular things take place. They have to. There's no other option. We all know, and people hark back to the 1904 revival, when God walks the streets. And what happened? Crime crashed. The swearing of minors stopped. God's name was glorified. Even the pit ponies didn't know what to do because the miners no longer swore at them because to get them to do the job they should have done. They were confused. God shows up, spectacular things happen. We should expect it. We shouldn't fear it. When Christ comes into this universe, things have to get out of the way. You sang about that tonight. If you are the children of God, then you must have the same characteristics. When children are born to loving parents, the children grow, they develop. And as we get older, we tend to look like them. Many go, oh no. But yes, we do. We tend to look like them. And I'm sure as we've grown older and if we've had children of our own, we tend to catch ourselves, don't we? In a particular situation, and we act and we speak just like our parents acted and talked. If you come to know Christ and you're the son and daughter of God, this means you should behave like him. You should have the same characteristics of him. You should have the same DNA as God. Do you? Are you a supernatural people? Or are you a mundane people? Are you a people with power and authority and grace in your life? Or are you someone who's just like the world? You shouldn't be. God didn't free you to be. But rather, he set you up in his grace and power and said, come to me, my people. Come to me. And I will give you power. I will allow you to be overcomers and a people who change the world. You are a supernatural people. You're not a worldly people. You have to be something different. Or how are you going to attract others to him? If you're mundane, then how can you be a witness for God? If you have a spirit of fear, of timidity inside of you, how can God bless you? For you have rejected who and what he is and what he's prepared to do you for you. If you have no power, then you have not been transformed. For how can you bring glory to God? This day are you a supernatural people. God is prepared to give power to his children. And they are to wield that power in Jesus' name. Not their name, Jesus' name. So that the world would know the power of God and his Son and the Spirit and what they have done for them. What's the next gift in this list? Love. Our God is love. Not the love that we live by, but a love which endures, a love which has great concern, a love that is deep and rooted in friendship, a love which is loyal and doesn't keep score, a love which is totally sacrificial, a love which is freely given to you and to me. This love, which is on offer to you, is a love that can be in your life. Do you have that love? Do you feel that love? Can you touch that love? You know, so many people in this world today feel, how can anyone or anything love me? But God does, because he formed you, he created you. And you are precious to him. So, so precious. He can't do anything else than be head over heels in love with you. You can do whatever you like, be whoever you are, speak whatever you speak, but he's head over heels in love with you. And the only time of your separation is if you go when you die and you have not accepted him. And then you are separated from him for all eternity. And does that hurt him? Does that hurt him? What then is the final gift? Discipline. In some translations, it says sound mind. Do you have that gift here this evening? Do you have self-discipline given by God so that you may have a sound mind? Do you have a sound mind this day so that your mind is constant when all around you is in turmoil? If you do not have God's Spirit inside of you, so fear has been banished, you will not have a sound mind. If you do not have the power of God inside of you, so when temptation comes and rears its ugly head towards you so that you can reject it, then you have no discipline, no sound mind. If you do not know, or you have rejected God's love, then your mind forever will be in turmoil. And you'll be forever pursuing the world for the love which you think it can give you. But you will never find it. For the world always lets you down. Even it's in an individual. Because eventually that individual has to die. Our God is eternal. This day, do you have these four sets of gifts? Or are you a stranger to them? If you have them manifest in your life, are they effective? If they're effective, are you making a difference in this world? And if you are making a difference, do you have a testimony of God's love in the world? It says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Are you living this verse this day? Do you own it? And does it own you? For it tells a story which should be your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your people tonight. And I would ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that if there's anyone here needs one of those gifts in their life, perhaps somebody feels powerless, let them have power. If there's someone in here tonight who is timid, change who and what they are. And dear Lord, give them courage so they might know their purpose. If someone's without love, dear Lord, let them feel that love crash into their lives and change them. If there's someone here tonight whose mind is in turmoil and they do not have discipline, dear Lord, let the Spirit come in and let their minds be put right, that they would have peace and calm. Loved one of God, whatever your desire is tonight, with the four gifts that have been presented to you here this evening from him, let's spend a few moments of quiet that he might minister to you, that he might touch you in the way that you require, so that you would realize you are an adopted heir to the kingdom of God, and you will be seated with him in that time in heaven when he changes all things. So let's spend a few moments of quiet there. Thank you, dear Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you that he's ministered to us this day, that he's changed us and made us new, that he's responded to our cries here this evening, that he's taken our cry to the very throne room of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has interceded upon your behalf to God the Father, who is now responding to your requests. We thank you that we are no longer timid. We thank you that we have love. We thank you that we have power. And dear Lord, thank you for your love, which is in our life. And our minds are set right. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. And God's people said,